All right, welcome, welcome. We're gonna go ahead and get started. So this is a how to use LinkedIn for your, it's for work-based learning success, but really it's for any portfolio, whether it's your healthcare science or FBLA. Like, LinkedIn's an amazing tool for your portfolio. So let me tell you this, and especially if you're from, I'm not really from a rural area, but money is not real abundant in education. So how many of you have biggest budget that you, like, you got all the money you want, right? That never happened. So let me ask you this question before, and this is kind of the premise for the entire presentation. Very, very, very rarely, if ever, does the best tool available and free intersect in education. Rarely does that ever happen. It's my thesis that it does happen with LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the best tool available, and it is free. It will not cost you anything. Now, I will go ahead and say that some of you are probably going to get some kickback from your IT departments about LinkedIn. And how many of you in here are work-based learning? Okay, great. So here is, there's a lot of reasons to use it, but here's the one that's the work-based learning is already an increased proposition risk. We're releasing students from school to go to work. You're not doing a background check on everybody else who works at that location. So there's already an increased risk profile. So LinkedIn is not going to expose work-based learning students to any more risk than is already inherent to the actual program itself. You follow me? So that's kind of something, that's where I would start with your IT people if they say you can't use this. I know Google came down and basically said, schools, if you can do whatever you want, but if you do this, it's on you, it's not on us. And that's why schools are starting to get tighter and back down from some certain things. So we'll go ahead and move past this. I will say, if you want my contact information, that's the QR code for you to get my contact information. If you'll scan that, you have to click Save to Contacts and then click Save to Contacts again, then scroll all the way down to the bottom, click Create New Contact, and then press Done. So you gotta click four buttons, but it'll put everything that I have in there. I'll be traveling for the next week or so. So if you want to get a hold of me, LinkedIn's probably the best way to do that. I'm not saying that because this is my LinkedIn presentation. I said that last session when it was in another session or another presentation. So that's the best way to get a hold of me. Does anybody else still need that? I'll come back to it at the end if I didn't. Also, I told you a few minutes ago, if you want the audio from this presentation or the other presentations, I'll post the audio here, this podcast, and I can come back to that as well. But I really want to get into the session because this is one of my favorite things to teach on and talk on. And it's just, we know social media is what our students do. And so here's another way I would tell my directors, like, kids aren't super pumped to use LinkedIn. Like, it's not TikTok. It's not Snapchat. Like that. So it is social media, but this is not something they're excited about doing at first. Okay. And so I'm giving you kind of the bad news there. Before I get to the good news. So that's another way. It's like, the kids aren't going to be using this unless I tell them to. But the more they use it, the more they get used to it, the more they see the value of it, the more they begin to want to implement it. So LinkedIn is really for any level. I'm going to show you how I've used it in my program from tip to stern, okay? Like, completely immersed in my program. You may only want to do one or two or three of the things. So this is a good tool for you no matter how deep you want to go with it. No matter what level you want to do, it is a good thing to implement, okay? So the entire premise of the presentation is, why LinkedIn? Why is LinkedIn better than X or Y or Z, okay? The first thing I told you is it's free. It doesn't cost you anything, okay? So that's the premise. Here, I'm going to start with just a few quotes. And this, I said this last session, I'll say it again. Without partnerships and established talent pipelines to your local industries, okay? Again, without partnerships and established talent pipelines to your local industries, you do not have a CTE program. You have elective courses. And none of us want to have elective courses. But in order for it to be a true CTE program, you've got to get industry input, you've got to get industry buy-in, you've got to have ways to connect the kids that you're producing to their industry. That's what makes it a true CTE program and not the 30 years ago voc prep that we all went through. All right, sorry, my little microphone malfunction there. All right, so this is Georgia State Superintendent of Schools talking about the value of industry partners and connections. CTE in Georgia is built on close collaboration with local business industries, trade associations, and post-secondary partners. Together, these partners work to continually develop new pathways and courses to expand opportunities for all Georgia students and prepare them for future success. Richard Woods, school superintendent, state school superintendent, right there, built on close collaboration with local businesses. That's what CTAE is, okay? And here's our deputy superintendent. Again, I didn't rig this. Like, I literally went and found these quotes from both of them. I didn't say, hey, can you give me a quote for a presentation? These were organic. I just went and found them. This is Dr. Barbara Wall, our deputy superintendent over CTAE. She said, CTE programs must have business and industry engagement in order to prepare students for workplace success. True business and industry engagement is in the norm, not the exception, or is the norm, not the exception in Georgia's CTE program. So I would say, being from Georgia, I'm proud of these two quotes, but if you don't have industry buy-in and partnerships, you really don't have a CTE program. Like, that should be something we're striving to do and build in our program. So rest of the presentation, I'm gonna give you a bunch of reasons why LinkedIn. If you have any questions, stop me and ask me, okay? First, why LinkedIn? The first reason is because that's where employers are. And one of my biggest pet peeves, and I am not anti-school technology, they have a very tough job. Their job is to juggle all the demands of the teachers. We want this program and this software and this website and this website, and they've got to do that while trying to protect their students. So I'm not anti-school IT. What I'm saying is I'm sick and tired of saying we're going to protect kids, air quotes, we're going to put kids on a school-safe platform, air quotes, and then when they graduate, guess what happens to these school-safe platforms? They lose access to them because they're tied to their school email. So if you have a student who builds the most amazing portfolio the world has ever seen, they lose access to it as soon as they graduate, the very moment they need to be able to leverage it for their success. So I am adamant about this. It does not make any sense when we put them in a school-safe platform. All that really is doing is saying we're delaying their maturation, delaying their adapting to this content until they can sue somebody else. We just don't want to be able to get sued. And I don't think that's a healthy perspective. Now, I'm not the one cutting the check for the lawsuits either, so I'll give you that disclaimer. But the reason is because it's where employers already are. And what I want to talk about is, what value does a portfolio have if, again, it could be the most abundant or the best resource you've ever seen, if you have trouble getting employers to see it? If you put your students on Google sites and they create their portfolio for your program as a Google website, I don't know one, and I know a lot of employers, I do not know one employer who is searching a repository of Google sites to find employers or employees, not one of them. So why do we put our students on a platform, and then even if it's the best platform, we still have the biggest obstacle remaining is getting eyes on? I can have the most amazing resource, but then I still have to make sure someone sees it. And they're only going to see it if I send it to them. There's no way to be accidentally discovered by an employer if you're using one of these websites where employers are not already organically active. You follow me? If I put it on LinkedIn, it's already there. That's where employers are. So when I say active versus passive, I mean it's not hard to send your email or send your resume to someone who's hiring. That's called active. I'm actively being discovered there. But what LinkedIn allows you to do is it allows your student to just be doing whatever. They could be at a football game. They could be at home sleeping in the bed, and someone could search skill sets on LinkedIn, pull up your student's portfolio, identify their skill sets, identify their credentials, send them a message and say, hey, look, we're hiring for an internship at my company. Are you interested? That student was discovered passively. They were not actively looking to be discovered, but you put it on an environment and a platform and an ecosystem where employers already are, so that made them discoverable. Now, again, we got to be safe with our kids. But why are we delaying their maturity or their maturation process? Why not put them on LinkedIn now while they're under our control and teach them how to appropriately use social media? So not only does it become a platform for them to put their content on, it also becomes an instructional platform for which you can teach them appropriate social media use. Okay? So it's because where employers already are, passive versus active recruiting, and it's tied to their school email, which expires when they graduate. What value does it have if they lose access to it when they graduate? It doesn't have any value to the student. It was a hoop. And that's the thing that I think we also have to get past as educators, is quit creating hoops for them to jump through. Don't give them an assignment if it's not going to make them better. Don't require something if you're not going to evaluate it, if it's not going to make them more prepared to enter the workforce. And don't put them on a platform if it's not going to help them. Having them create their, and I'm saying to Meek, before LinkedIn, I would have mine do it on Adobe Spark, which is really cool, graphical. But again, the problem remained, I couldn't get an employer's eyes on the portfolio because it wasn't available to them. They're not on that platform. So it's the lowest hanging fruit available for us moving forward. Now, another reason, why LinkedIn? Employer relations. Imagine what happens when a student, when someone hires you, one of your students. We should be, I think all of us probably are, sending thank you notes and correspondence to them. But what happens if I can leverage a private thank you publicly? Think about that. What happens if I can leverage a private thank you publicly? So in my community, they hire my student, I send them a thank you card, that's great. Who sees that? Me and the employer. But what happens if I send them a thank you card, but then I also make a post on my LinkedIn account? I tag the student, I tag the employer, and I say, thank you at Ace Electric for hiring the student. Now I've leveraged a private thank you publicly, and what that really means is I've closetly shamed all the other employers who said no. And then, as I've started doing this, I'm no jokes about this, as I've started doing this, I now receive more cold calls or more inquiries for talent than I make. Because when you start telling your employers thank you on a public platform, all of their competitors start getting, I call FOMO, fear of missing out. Whoa, what happened? What? Jason, how can I get an intern? How can I get an apprentice? How can I do this? Because they're starting to see that the talent pipeline is shifting toward this company because they've bought into my program. I'm sending my kids to them, and they start saying, it's already hard enough to hire and find talent. LinkedIn allows you to develop these employer relations. Thanking employers publicly, privately, in front of their competitors. Another really good point. And then the student, it really helps you employer relationships with students and coordinators, building in that rapport where you can teach them the right and wrong way to post, what an appropriate profile picture looks like. Like, that's something we're not teaching these kids. We just turn them loose when they graduate and have no training on social media appropriate. Like, what's it look like to post a picture? And I've got a funny little meme here I'll show you in a second. So employer relations are a phenomenal reason to use LinkedIn. I think the next one should be employee recruiting, and this is probably one of my favorite ones. Not only when you make that private thing or that public, that private thank you public, not only when you do that are you're exposing your employer to more goodwill from within your community, but you're also leveraging that thank you as a recruiting tool because other employers are going to see that and they're going to say, I want somebody. I want an apprentice. I want an intern. I want a co-op, whatever your language is in Alabama. I want one of those students. And so you can go in and you can expand the networking connections. Imagine, I call it that fly on the wall mentality. Like, if you could put an employer who you want to have as a partner in your program as a fly on the wall, as you discuss the successes you've had with another employer, wouldn't you want to do that? Wouldn't you want them to see a organic, non-planned conversation where you're talking to the employer and just saying, thanks for hiring this kid. And the employer says, man, thank you. Like, we had this great kid who's doing great work, and we wouldn't have had access to him until way down the road if we had let him go to college, and then we would have had to recruit for him and pay more for training and all that stuff. That's the kind of conversation you want other people to see, and leveraging those on LinkedIn is what happens. You make a post, and you say, thank you, Ace Electric, and thereupon, no, thank you. This kid's doing a great job. Good job at student's name. And the student's name is, oh, my gosh, I've learned so much. And you start having this organic conversation that is public, and it becomes something you can leverage to recruit new employers, especially employers who may be on the fence with hiring students who may be under 18, because we all have that problem, right? So employer recruiting is another major, major benefit to using LinkedIn, that fly-on-the-wall mentality, expanding connections and new relationships through LinkedIn. So I just told a story is anybody in my session yet, just the previous one? You remember the LinkedIn story I told? How did I get the students' headshots for free? Yeah, I posted my reverse career fair from the fall. A photographer saw it, cold called me and said, I want to participate. I'll donate a professional headshot package to each one of your students. $700 a sitting. all because I thanked I marketed my program, thanked my employers publicly. She saw it and then was able to build my program. So the new relationships and the expansion of your network through LinkedIn is going to be key. It's going to be crucial. Program marketing, building awareness of your students and your program. That's the key. Saturate your community with knowledge of what your students can do. Overcome those stigmas. Because the biggest issue that I think most of us face is people think they can't hire students under 18. What they've really done is they've conflated two separate issues. They've conflated traditional practice and legal compliance. And that is not the case. You can hire students under 18. You can hire students under 18. So building awareness of your students and your program. If you want to go on my LinkedIn, you can go back probably 4 years and see my student thank you post from 4 years ago. When you do it here, you're building that repository, what I call a repository in perpetuity, meaning it's there forever. All my thank you posts, all my employer posts, all my students posts, all everything that I put on there, so I can always go back and get access to it. If you have to track students, it's a great way to track students. So program marketing, building awareness of your students and your program, documenting your activities to your stakeholders. What about when your assistant principal who doesn't know anything about CTAE comes and knocks on your door, says, hey, what you been doing lately? Pull it up. Here's where I was. Here's what I've been doing. Here's what my kids have been doing. Here's the value that I'm adding to my community. Here's the passion that I'm eliciting from our local industry and stakeholders. And you're not telling the story. They're telling the story. You're allowing your students and your industry to tell your story for you. And I think that's extremely powerful. It loops in that larger audience. Again, the networks of your connections. And I want to go back here real quick. I'm going to tell this story. This is another example. I may get to it later. I may have it on a different slide. But if I do, I'll just skip it then. When I say it loops in a larger audience, I'm going to tell you a story of a friend of mine in Utah. He had a student come, and she wanted to be a meteorology intern. She wanted to be like the weather person on the news. And I don't know if your heart drops, but like mine does when I hear that, I'm like, oh, crap, I don't have any connections in that area. How am I going to get a kid placed as a meteorology intern? So what he did, and he's the one who turned me on to LinkedIn, is he went to LinkedIn. He said, hey, network, I have this really amazing student. She's seeking a placement in a meteorology area. Can anybody help? Anybody have any connections? Within 6 hours, he didn't just have a phone number and a place. He had her hired in 6 hours because he used the network to get her placed, to build and grow his network. He used connections to grow his network to get a student placed. And that student to this, that was 4 years ago, that student to this day is still there in college. She's about to graduate. She's about to go to that same company full time. What would I have normally done in that situation? I would have tried to get her the next best thing. What's perfect placement adjacent? I can't get you a meteorology internship, but I can put you radio. And that's okay, but through LinkedIn, she got what she wanted. And I think that's something that we can all learn from, especially with work-based learning, is you don't know what you don't know. But you've got a lot of friends who may have those contacts and leveraging them here on LinkedIn. I would love to see an Alabama work-based learning group, Tony, I hope you set up, where all of your coordinators join the same group, and they can go there and they can say, hey, I'm having problems with this. Anybody have any thoughts or comments? It's not as intrusive as text, but it becomes this online group that you can control, can be closed, that people come and they share these success stories. You mentioned that in your first session. They seek help. They seek collaboration. Here's what I'm seeing in this part of Alabama. Are y'all seeing this too? Sharing those ups and downs, that's what LinkedIn provides you. And again, it's free. There's a lot of people out here who are going to try and sell you a $10,000 piece of software to do this. This is free. Networks and connections provides more evidence of your students' success in the industry. Think of it this way. Is anybody here a sports fan? Anybody like sports? Okay. I played baseball. Baseball is very, you don't necessarily need color commentary for baseball because baseball, it's baseball, right? Football, you really need color commentary. So you know the difference between color commentary and a broadcaster? The broadcaster is the nerd who went to school to learn how to be a broadcaster. The color commentator is the one who actually played the sport. So in a football game, when you're listening to the radio or you're watching the TV, the broadcaster is the one who's talking. And then as soon as the play happens, he shuts up and the football player says, now here's what happened here. The guard pulled, knocked out the defensive end, and that's why he gave. He's telling you what happened. You follow me? Your resume for your students is the broadcaster. It's the black and white binary data. LinkedIn is the color commentary. It is the pictures. It's the videos. It's the writing samples. It's the networks. It's the people who you're connected to, the people who you're following. It shows more than just the black and white binary data of a resume. And I'd be willing to bet if you talk to your employers the way I've talked to my employers, a lot of my employers say, we don't even really look at resumes anymore, especially from high school students. Do you know why? It's almost impossible to differentiate a good candidate from a bad candidate in high school from the resume, because they have very limited experience. All they have to really sell are extracurricular activities, and let's be honest, it's not hard to do those in high school, and their academics. And let's be honest, everyone has to do those in high school. There's no way to differentiate yourself. You end up having things like, well, I'm a hard worker, I'm dedicated, I'm this. And you can look at a resume from a bad student and a good student, the resume looks almost identical. And employers, and my employers are telling me it's so hard to differentiate between a good candidate and a bad candidate just by their resume. This gives them the color commentary. They can see that the student, they can see the student welding, they can see the student following OSHA protocols, they can see the artifacts and the things the student has made, and now that gives color to the black and white resume, and the student's in a better position to get that job. So it provides them more evidence of this. Last two for here, why LinkedIn? It allows you to be the answer. So the best thing, and this isn't what Tony asked me to come talk about, but I'll volunteer this anyway. The best way to be good at your job is to say yes to everything and then find out how to make it happen. When an employer says, I need this, absolutely. And then you go home when you get nervous, say, okay, how am I going to make this happen? That's how I've had success doing work-based learning in Georgia. When an employer says, we need this, oh yeah, I can do that. And then I'm like, oh, how am I going to do that? Be a yes person, not the bad yes person. Be their answer, because even if it means putting someone with them that's not from your program, because as soon as you solve their problem, guess where they're going to come the next time they have another problem? To you. Tell them to think of you as their Department of Labor. And it also motivates other employers to join in. Okay, now here are just some real quick examples of ways I do what I call student thank you posts. So I make the students write the thank you post, and then the ones that are really good, I will repost those, okay? So this first one here, this is a student. And so I'm in South Georgia, okay? A lot of swamps, okay? A lot of snakes, a lot of alligators. This young man has what I would call a legitimate crazy streak. Great student, great kid, but he wants to be a land surveyor, specifically in the swamps, because they get paid a ton of money because they got dodged water moccasins and alligators all the time. He loves it. He loves it. Now, this is what he did. In this photo, this is me and Rodney, and we are in a swamp locating a property corner. I'd like to thank Mr. Rodney for teaching me everything I know this semester. I work at Prime Consulting Solutions, and we work all around surveying land for customers. With the picture of him working, thank you, tagged his employer, did my hashtags. Now I can get that and market that, leverage that, share it out. Another example. A young man who worked at Hunt Industries. And again, let's don't conflate two issues. I am not teaching these students. I am not going to spend my day teaching a welding student grammar. Okay? That's not what this is about. Now, if you want to go that route, you can use this as a writing sample. I have never met someone in welding who says, I want the best welder, but they better be able to spell. They don't care. They want them to be able to weld. And so for that reason, I tell the kids, look, yes, make sure you're striving to do things correctly, to spell correctly, to do the grammar, but I'm not going to grade you down because look at this. Like, he took a picture of him working as a 17-year-old student. He welded that exhaust fan tube. That was his project. So he posted it on LinkedIn, thanked his employer, and now for the rest of forever, until he decides to ever delete that, which I hope he doesn't, he can leverage that for his success with future employers. I can now leverage that with other welding manufacturers in my community saying, look what you're missing out on. All my kids are going to your competitor and they're doing that. And that recruits for me, okay? Another example, I have this was a junior in high school. So we were building a school. It was a nightmare. we were living on a construction site. So they tore down part of our school and they were building a new part of our school while we were still going to school there. It was a nightmare. Except for this, I actually got a student placed with the company as a junior, what was his official title? As a junior contract, a contractor apprentice. So he was looking at inventories. He was just, this young man did the punch list on the entire third floor of a 50-something million dollar project. He did the punch list. He directed the workers, the construction people on the third floor. That was his job. Kids can do the work. So he thanked them. This young man over here, he's not in the picture, but he works at an ag research facility where he basically takes sample. People from all over the country will send soil samples to this company. They'll dehydrate them, and then they will begin to look and analyze it for like all these crazy nutrients and this and that. And they say, based on what's in the soil, we'd recommend you grow cotton for 2 years, then peanuts for a year, and then you'll have a good balance to grow whatever you want. That's what they do. He's from our FFA and ag program. He wants to be an ag researcher. He works there. Thank you, picture. He's not only marketing himself and thanking my employer, but he's destroying the misconception that high school students can't do the work. And he's doing it for me. When I put these students out, I get so many responses. I call it a 31 and 31 project. I usually do it in October. 31, 31. So I take all my students, they'll all post their thank you posts, and I'll pick one and repost one day each day for the October. All 31. So the 31 and 31 project. Every year I do that, I get so many people say, I had no idea high school kids could do this. Can we talk about getting an intern? It's just free marketing. Free marketing. Another example, a business communication student who was a pastor apprentice at his church. Another welding student who worked at an HVAC company building welding ducts and repairing the outer casings for those HVAC units. Another one, a machinist, a welding student who wanted to be a machinist who was working at a machine shop. A pre-service teacher educator. We have what's called the TAP program, the Teaching as a Profession. And we have ECE. I think y'all have ECE here too. That's one of our high school teaching as a profession students with her class so we placed them in a school. Like if I were to build a school, the first program I would build would be work-based learning. The second one I would build would be a teaching as a profession program. We've got to start growing our own kids. We got to start growing our own kids for our own schools. So that's what we're doing here. We're placing her through work-based learning in an elementary school as a junior or senior. They're learning how to teach under a teacher, and it has been one of the most amazing talent retention strategies our district's ever leveraged. Because we're getting those students are starting to come back because they've already got experience with the principal, with the teachers, with the staff. They're already comfortable there. Another one, a computer science student who was working at a pharmaceutical lab, and he would help program the little thing he's wearing on his wrist to scan barcodes, and they'd tell him what bin to go to and where to go and get this, and they would complete those orders. Another animal science student working as a butcher, which is a Fair Labor Standards Act, says you can't work as a butcher unless you are in a certified or a work placement program. So because of the exemption to the hazardous occupation in the Fair Labor Standards Act, I've got that student working as a butcher. A culinary student working in a bakery building cupcakes, and then another business communication student working for our development authority doing their social media. So these are all examples of things I've had my students post, I would repost, and it begins to market, go over my program. So again, I talked about the active versus passive. I love the way these students are being discovered. Something their future employers are actually using. So by LinkedIn, their employers are already using LinkedIn. They're already there. So if you put your students there, you've removed the biggest, most daunting obstacle, and that's getting eyes on. You're not going to convince an HR person to switch from using their current strategies to go and learn a whole new platform like a Google Sites or Adobe Spark. They're not gonna do that. Put your kids where the employers already are. And I mentioned this, no empty adjectives. The color commentary to their resume. This is the color commentary to the black and white resume. And my favorite part about that is it humanizes the student. And I always teach my students, when you're getting an interview, when you're networking, when you're trying to get into a company, the more they see you as a person and less as an applicant, the better it is for you. So I don't like putting pictures. It's not appropriate to put a picture, your picture, on a resume. That's inappropriate. But if I put a QR code on my resume that takes you to my LinkedIn, that is appropriate. And now I've humanized myself. You know me, you've seen me, my face, what I do, you've seen me working, you've seen, it's a lot easier to get hired when you're humanized versus just looking at a black and white resume and just throw it away. Now, in terms of building the portfolio, so that's a lot of LinkedIn, why? I think I've given you enough to at least consider why. Let's look at a few other reasons. Look at all the different types of things that you can actually upload to LinkedIn. Photos, you can make posts and photo evidence of what your actual work samples, okay? Not just the sample, the end result, but the process. You can document the process on a LinkedIn post. If you really want to to assess their work, their writing samples, you can have them do newsletters and articles. They can go in their LinkedIn posts and they could have, so instead of having them turn in journals or reflections to you on a monthly basis, if you want to do that, some of my friends do that in Georgia. I don't like to grade all those newsletters. My program's too big for that. But if you want to do that, you can take those and have them do it on LinkedIn and post the newsletter on LinkedIn. And that could be their reflection for you. It could be part of their journal. And it could be all LinkedIn. You can post links, anything on the web, you can put links in there too. Also, media, videos. What about when you go, because if you're used to LinkedIn, you can take one of your posts and you can start so it shows up at the top of your profile, on your profile. So sometimes I'll have my students, I didn't last year, I don't know why, I should have again, have my students record a little minute or 2 minute introduction. Hey, I'm Susie, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm studying, this is where I work. These are my aspirations moving forward. So when someone clicks on their profile, the first thing they see is a 2 minute introduction video. Again, there are a lot of companies out here, out this door, who'll sell you a $10,000 solution for that, or you can just make LinkedIn work because that's what it was built to do. Employability skill lessons. So I do, Tony, what do I despise? You know I'm going with this? What do I despise? What phrase do I despise? Soft skills. I hate it. Yeah, sorry. I just rebooted it then. I despise the term soft skills. So if you'll join with me in the effort to eradicate that from our language. Durability skills are fine. I prefer employability skills, but I don't like soft skills because they're not soft. They're hard to find, hard to teach, hard to keep. So I know that's semantics and it's not that big of a deal, but I hate the word soft skills. But employability skill lessons. Think about this. You're teaching the students appropriate high school, post-high school appropriate preparedness. So why are we going to refuse to teach students on LinkedIn, refuse to teach them how to use social media, and then the minute they graduate, they're going to be evaluated on how they use social media? You know, one of the most effective things for employers to do now is not to look at their resume. They're going to, as soon as they get someone they're interested in, they're going to what they call cyber vet them. They're going to look them up online, look at their profiles, whatever they can find. So at a bare minimum, we should be teaching our students to keep your profiles private. If you're not going to teach them how to use it, then at least tell them, don't make it public. Only the people you approve, because that'll at least keep employers from finding your stuff. But all of our kids, they don't want that. They want public profiles because they love the likes, they love the follows, they love all the things, and they're heartbroken if they don't get certain interactions. But you're teaching them appropriate post-high school preparedness. You're teaching them social media awareness. That translates to other social media platforms. You can teach them career exploration. And LinkedIn, you can say, hey, you want to be a healthcare. Why don't you go find 3 hospitals or healthcare providers outside of a 50-mile radius that you could potentially look for? Not inside, outside. Maybe try and leave this community. Maybe go see if you can get a broadened perspective. They can do career exploration through LinkedIn. Collaboration with other Work by Starting students nationally. A good buddy of mine, that one in Utah I told you about, who leveraged this for the meteorology student, that 2152 project is a podcast that he and I do. It's a crowdsourced professional development platform for CTE and work-based learning specifically. And so he and I had these conversations, and we started having, our first year, we had 2 of our best students start collaborating on episodes. So those 2 students are collaborating 2,152 miles apart. That's what the name is, because his office and my office are that far apart. So you can have students collaborate. Your students could collaborate with my students in Georgia on topics, on projects, on newsletters, on whatever. Like, that allows you to, and again, there are a lot of people who will sell you a solution to that, but LinkedIn can do it for free. If you're teaching virtually, you can do LinkedIn Lives and have your students come into LinkedIn Live. I wish I would have known about LinkedIn Live during the pandemic. That would have been legit for me, but I learned about it afterwards. So here's an example of social media appropriateness or preparedness. So y'all know The Rock, right? Big time movie star, played football at the University of Miami. This picture right here, that is a great profile picture for Tinder. Is there anything wrong with this picture? No. But that is an appropriate picture for Instagram. Okay? That is not a good picture for your profile on LinkedIn. So we're just teaching them simple things, and you try and be funny with it, but this makes sense to them. Like, beneath that, this is a great picture. That's a Facebook picture. That's appropriate to post on Facebook. But I would not post any of those three pictures on LinkedIn. And for the most part, you're not going to find that kind of stuff on LinkedIn. You will find some stuff. One of my favorite Reddit subthreads is called LinkedIn Lunatics. If you haven't followed it, go follow it. It is hilarious because some people do stupid stuff on LinkedIn. But for the most part, the reason I love LinkedIn is because it filters me from all the things I don't want to see. If I were using Instagram to track my students after they graduate, guess what I'm going to be seeing? A lot of my female students on the beach, at the pool. I don't want to see that. LinkedIn filters that out for me because you don't post those pictures to LinkedIn. It's a professional network. So that's another reason for that. So this is just an example of teaching them, give them this document and say, you know, obviously without the tags, which one of these is appropriate for Tinder? And you know what? My students almost never get that wrong. They know the difference. When they think about it, they know the difference. All right, expose your new content. Have them follow new individuals, industries, companies, etc. Have them follow TED Talks and TEDx Talks. Have them follow MicroWorks. Have them take MicroWorks Sweat Pledge through LinkedIn in your Workplace Learning program. Have them generate their own professional development through LinkedIn. Have them go find things that you're not aware of on LinkedIn. Here's another one, one of my favorites. Student evaluations. What do I have, Tony? I have to what? Oh, I got 5 minutes. Woo, gotta go. Okay, student evaluations. When you have an evaluation for a student, that's the best evaluation you've ever conducted, you ever got for a student, where does it typically go? In your filing cabinet. Take that evaluation and have an employer endorse them on LinkedIn, and now it becomes something, a public tool that they can leverage for future jobs. So they can list their skills, and the employer can go and endorse the skills, just yes, 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 or they can write them an actual reference. And there's just some samples of that. So you can have your teachers, instead of doing it on paper and it goes in a file application and you put that in a filing cabinet, when they're done, you've approved them, why not have the teachers evaluate them on LinkedIn? Give them, and that stays with them. I require that for Workplace Learning Distinction and Honors, as well as Youth Apprenticeship Completion. So if they want to be a YAP completer, they have to be endorsed. Again, I showed you that, or I didn't show you that, but that's in my reverse career fair, one of the things I require from them. Student placements. This is by far my favorite thing to do. Every year I create a closed group, which means no one has access to it but me and the students I put in that group. The students request access, I give them access, and then I have them go in that group and I have them write a narrative. It could be a bullet point or whatever. Write a narrative that summarizes their skill sets. A lot of times I will have them use their U-Science results to build that as the engine. Well, here's the cool part. You call me and say, hey, look, I need somebody to come to my HVAC company. Well, I've got almost 300 students. I don't remember all my kids and which one has the HVAC skill set or not. So once I vet you, I give you access to that closed group, and you go and you type in HVAC or mechanic. And any student who put that in their narrative of the 300 pops to the top. So now I've leveraged a private thank you post as a perpetual repository for my students' talent, and I don't have to remember each one of the kids' skill sets because I'm letting you search the skill set. So if it's a healthcare, they can look for CNA, or they can look for whatever they're looking for. They type it in and it'll pull it up the top. So the students make a post with their skill set. It doesn't have to be hashtags. And then the employers can search that group for that, and you can give them 24 hours access, 48 hours access, and they can go search your group. And again, that's the passive part. They can do, I don't have to be present selling my kids' skill sets. I could be at home in the bed, and my employers could be looking through that once I've given them access after I've vetted them. So a phenomenal way to help with student placements. More student placements. Helps with those unusual placements. I've already told you the meteorology example. So again, another example for there. Student tracking. Do you have to track your students? In Georgia, we have to track our YAP students for 7 years or until they complete. Well, again, I don't want to track them on Instagram or Facebook because I'm going to be exposed to a lot of content I don't need to see. I don't want to see. Tracking them here is a great way to do that. Another large closed group for my alumni. So once a student graduates, I move them into my alumni group and I can track them. So if I have someone calls and say, hey, I really need a high level, maybe engineering student who's not 18, who's 19, 20, 21, 22, then I just do the math, go to that cohort, pull them up, give them access to that group, and they can go search them. And then here's the best part about this, is I'm no longer the middleman. I don't mind being the middleman. I love advocating for my students. But what I love the most is when my students can go in and they get that message from an employer, and now my students have to advocate for themselves, a skill that they do not typically have. The employer sends them a message on LinkedIn, hey, I have an internship, are you interested? The student can't just say, yep. Okay, you're not going to get the jobs. Yes, so-and-so, thank you for reaching out. I would love to talk about a time we could get together and discuss this potential internship. That's teaching the student how to advocate and communicate appropriately and professionally. I've really got to go. Here's what I do. Have my students connect with me on my personal account, okay? For assessment, because I have to, if they don't connect with me for my personal account, then I don't have access to their content to grade it because I told you I try to keep their profiles private. I also set up my work-based learning program, my school program, as a company, air quotes, as a company. So when they create their account, they say they are employed with Lowndes County Work-Based Learning and Youth Apprenticeship as a student intern, and then they also put where they're actually working in that program. So now I can just search for all the employees of that company, my company, and all my students pull up. That makes sense? I know I'm going really fast. I'm sorry. I also do the closed groups, talked about that. Develop unique hashtags so that you can search for those hashtags and pull up all your students' posts. Also, connecting and promoting. Do not turn down a connection and don't be scared to tell your story. Tony, you got to do what? Wag your own tail. Learn that from the Mr. Tony May himself. Now, here's the thing. If you want this, I have created this for you. If you are interested, now some of this data, some of these screenshots may be a little outdated, but on that first link, it'll take you to a short video showing you how to create your account. The second it will show you how to build out your profile by adding sections, employability sections, that kind of stuff. Creating a work-based learning program as a company, there's how to do that. Creating a closed group for your students, creating and following hashtags, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I will give this PowerPoint to Tony, but also if you want to come in here and scan that QR code, you can email me or text me or send me a message on LinkedIn, and I will get you that PowerPoint, and I'll make sure those links are active. So if you want to do this in your program, you should have all those links there set up for you to go in and build it. And if you have any problems moving forward, I can definitely help you with that. We've got like negative 30 seconds. I'm a little over. Sorry. Any questions as we walk out the door? Questions, comments, concerns, or clarifications? Yes. Is there an age? No. Well, there's an age limitation. But yes, I mean, I haven't had any problems with students getting on. You have to be 16 to be in my program. I'm not saying LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn, I wouldn't really put anybody under 16 on LinkedIn anyway, because it's just kind of a higher level. So I haven't had any problems getting students on the program. Great question. Any other thoughts, questions?